Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
When Naomi Nielsen Howard was a student at Cal Poly State University in the 1990s, she would make family forays to Central America. And it was in the midst of one of her sojourns to Mexico that she had an epiphanous moment, which led her to create a business that would empower local artisans through the creation of an import business in 1996. Naomi's little startup was launched from her small cottage on Walnut Street in San Luis Obispo while still working on her undergraduate degree at Cal Poly. Today, her business has grown to become an incredibly successful operation, specializing in high-end, handcrafted kitchen and bath products from sinks to tubs and more, with sales to the trade around the world from Hong Kong to Dubai. Native Trails offices and warehouses remain headquartered in San Luis Obispo in a nondescript commercial complex just off of South Higuera Street. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a fascinating conversation with Ms. Howard as we discovered how she has created a greater good company specializing in sustainable products, much of it from recycled materials. Today, her finely crafted products are made from reclaimed barnwood, wine staves and barrels, bamboo and recycled copper. Howard's extraordinarily successful business offers incredible economic opportunities for artisans from throughout Central America to right here on the Central Coast.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so there you were, a Cal Poly student, and probably senior project time, and ready to get out, and something happened. There was an epiphanous moment in your life. What happened?
Well, it really goes back to family travels. I did a lot of traveling with my family. My stepfather was from Central Mexico, and I just really started to become inspired by the people that I would meet in the villages we would go to, and particularly in the marketplaces. I always loved going to the markets, and the Indian marketplaces, we'd find incredible craftspeople making beautiful things in just this little, you know, dirt corner, and nobody really knew what they were doing. And I felt like we were just discovering these people that needed to be discovered.
Knew what they were doing as far as marketing and getting out in the world.
Exactly. The artisans knew what they were doing, but outside people just didn't know, were not aware of them. There was not a lot of awareness of who they were. They were typically not really appreciated in their communities either, not like we appreciate them today.
So you had that epiphanous vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would meet these craftspeople, and I just started to think about how their lives might change and what would be different for them if they had access to the marketplace where we live, and if people where I live knew about what they were doing and could see these beautiful things they were making, you know, how that might impact their family and their livelihoods, and just how incredible that would be. So that, I started to kind of dream about that, and things just went from there.
That's pretty incredible, because if you think about it, there's a very touching greater good component to your life and your business, and yet you made a career and a profession and a business out of helping people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, really seeing how their lives have changed over the years is pretty extraordinary. It's really beautiful. We work with a lot of great people. And
give us a specific story, an anecdote of, like, the woman that made the
Folk art.
The clay items. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was this village that where we were doing business. There's a village called Okumichu in Central Mexico, and I decided to visit because I had heard of their real beautiful folk art. So we started to visit there. I started making trips, and they didn't have telephones. You know, there was just one phone for the whole village, and I started to buy things that I found, and then I would start to order and say, okay, I'll be back in 2 months. Can you make 100 of these and 50 of these? And people were just blown away, like, wow, really? And you'll really be back? And then every time I would show up again, they were just kind of astounded. And it was pretty huge for them.
So you've made their life economically, viable.
Yeah, and they started to, family members who had been talking about moving away were able to stay, you know, at least for the time being. They were able to continue doing their craft, and people were excited about it. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that makes people feel proud of what they do, when you have someone not only buying it but appreciating it and showing that they really think it's something important.
Earlier, you showed me a photo of your funky little house on Walnut Street in San Luis Obispo, and there in the yard is a pile of boxes that have just been shipped in from Mexico. So there you were with these imported goods in your backyard in San Luis Obispo. How did you then make it work?
Yeah, so that was probably in, 1997, when I was running the business just out of my home, and moved from there to, after I graduated from Cal Poly, I got an actual warehouse space over on Suburban. And
how did people here in America see the products and buy the products 20 years ago from you?
So back then, I would pretty much fill up my van and go to festivals and craft fairs. I would set up a booth and sell to people who would come to my booth. That's how I started, and that helped me figure out what people wanted, what people thought of these things that I thought were so amazing. You know, in some areas, my taste was right on. Other areas, people were like, what? That is weird. No thanks.
Great.
So I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I started to approach stores once I felt a little bit more sure of what I had to offer, and the artisans that I was working with, once I had a little bit more reliability, and I started to approach stores, retail stores.
So on one level, you're kind of a wholesale conduit for the artists in Central America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, reaching out to these stores, and that's how I was able to buy quantity, and I still am. It's grown, of course, to a much different level today. But, you know, if I was just if I was a single retailer with one location, I would be very limited in what I could buy. So
again, backing up and looking back, in that village in Mexico where that woman, the photo you showed me, you changed her life.
We have one man who was able to fulfill his lifelong dream of buying an avocado orchard. So that's what he had dreamed about doing, and getting his son off to school and to college. That was a dream, and that has all been fulfilled. His son has actually then decided to come back after studying architecture, coming back home to this small village to work in the copper business, because it's now the family business that it's going to continue on, because there's really a market for it.
Let's segue back to you and your products and what you do today. There's been an evolution where you're doing a lot of kitchen items, and a lot of that relates to hammered copper sinks and whatnot. Tell us about your product lines today.
Sure. Well, we started working with these really incredible copper artists who were making things for us back in the day, like vases and platters and candle holders. And we had some fruit bowls. Somebody asked me for a copper sink, and I said, well, we're already doing bowls, so we can just add a hole. You know, a bowl with a hole is basically a sink, right? So it kind of evolved from there. I remember coming up with four copper sink designs and bringing those to my artisans, and we started from there, and it was just such a huge success. We started working with Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath here locally in SLO. Brian Metcalf over there was amazing, and he said, whoa, you've got a winner there, Naomi. This is good stuff. Bring me some more. And so he was our first customer for the copper sinks, and things really changed from that point, because we started to focus instead of going to a whole bunch of different regions, which was really not something that I could do sustainably over time.
Just even physically.
Exactly. It was a lot. I mean, I was always on the road. And so we started to focus on certain regions and certain types of products, and really getting our artisans to make things that were very functional, that people would be able to continue to buy even when the economy went through its ups and downs. So that was a really good move for us and for the artisans.
As your company, Native Trails, has grown, I understand that now you are doing international projects for resorts and exotic homes and whatnot. Tell us about that dimension. That's incredible.
Yeah, so we work with a lot of designers and architects. All of our kitchen and bath products are sold through showrooms, but we're connected with a lot of the specifiers who are doing projects all over the world. So
you might do a resort in Guatemala.
Yeah. We've got a whole bunch of our copper bathtubs are in Dubai right now.
Wow.
Yeah, we're working on a big sink project for Hong Kong. I think we've got things in India. There are luxury hotels and resorts and homes all over the world in places that you wouldn't even imagine. And they always want something that is special, you know?
Did Naomi have a clue 20 some years ago, Cal Poly girl, that this would be you?
Yeah, I would love to say that this is actually my perfect vision, but you know, I really did not envision what this would grow to and what an impact it would have. And you know, we have hundreds of artisans now that are making things for us full time, and it's really cool how many families we're working with and seeing their things all over the world. It's very exciting. Our sales are up about 30% over last year, so we're experiencing huge growth right now.
So these are the good days.
Yeah. You know, we had a rough few years, though, with the economy, just like everyone, but we're so focused on the housing market, and so when that took a dive, we had some very rough years, but we're really happy that we got through it, and we became a lot stronger because of it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. And right now we are in your showroom off of South Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo, California. And this is open to the public, I presume, because I got in your front door.
It is. You know, we don't really advertise to the public because we sell through the trade, but it's certainly open for anybody who would like to stop by and see what we do. We have our products in local showrooms as well.
Before we go, let's talk about some other dimensions of your Native Trails business. And that has to do with local artists, it has to do with Vietnamese artists, and it has to do with stone. We talked about copper and metal.
Right, yeah. So we've really branched out a lot. We started working with artisans in Mexico, and then we started just really kind of opening up our eyes and looking all around. And right here locally, we were some amazing craftspeople who do furniture for us, all made out of reclaimed wood. So it's all old barn wood and fencing, and that's turned into our Americana collection of vanities. That over there is an example of it.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, so it's just, they have this amazing texture, and every piece is unique.
So they're rustic and yet high-end architectural at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of that rustic modern look that's very popular. And it's all reclaimed wood that would be just, most of it would be just going to the landfill or
incinerated.
Yeah. And our vintner's collection is super cool too. It's made out of reclaimed wine barrels and oaking staves that are submerged in wine, and then usually they're discarded after, but they're infused with wine, so they've got the coloration and even the aroma. It's really wonderful. So we make bath furniture out of that. So we love to repurpose materials. We're always looking for materials that we can give a new life to. Even our copper, all the copper we use is recycled. So that's a big part of who we are, is, you know, having, it's kind of our social and environmental stance, and we're always trying to make a positive impact, do something good rather than something harmful. And that's, you know, it's not always easy when you're making products and doing business around the world. You really have to think so carefully about every decision that is made.
Let's go to Vietnam.
Yeah, let's do. Vietnam is a great place. We have really enjoyed working in Vietnam over the last few years. We launched the Native Stone Collection, and that was a couple of years ago that we launched that. The Native Stone Collection is concrete, but it's a very different kind of concrete. It's cement combined with natural jute fiber. And the jute fiber makes it about 40% lighter, and it also reinforces the material to make it very strong and prevents cracking and chipping. It's really a great material.
It's kind of a rebar.
Yeah, exactly. Like rebar, but much lighter and more effective for this purpose. You know, we do a lifestyle line of gifts and accessories to go with our kitchen and bath products. So that's very fun, too.
I love it. Yeah. Another great Cal Poly success story.
Thanks.
Yeah. For further information, I know you have a website.
We sure do. It's nativetrails.net.
Yep. Excellent. So we could find out anything we want to find out and see right there.
Exactly. We have some of our products are for sale right there on the website, but most of our products are through the showrooms. We have a dealer finder. You can just punch in your zip code and find a showroom near you. Yeah.
Love it. We've been visiting with Naomi Nielsen Howard, founder and CEO of Native Trails, right here in San Luis Obispo, California, off of South Higuera Street. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,